Welcome back to Super Tatis for Parshas Bishalach. This is being recorded during the week of Parshas Bo because those of us in Chicago have Yeshiva week and I may not have the entire stack of Sfarim that I usually access. So I'm thinking of you days ahead and I hope that wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you're preparing for Shabbos for your family. Start with a Mivchar HaPninim. This week it says HaToreach BeChochma UMoser Makne HaAtaros. So somebody who exerts themselves with Chochma and Musar will acquire for others the Ataros crowns. The HaNezirim, that means those who separate, Yasu Ataros Mizahav HaLashon HaMedaberes, those who separate will make crowns from the golden tongue that speaks, the Yusmu Baroshe Ohavehem, and they will put them on the head of those who they love. So, this is talking about influencing others. So there is a beautiful idea about, about influencing others. I give people a bracha. They should be tofeach lahatfiach. They should be so wet that they get other people wet. And that's a halachic concept. But the idea is that when somebody is so saturated, that eventually it affects other people. And I think about, a few things. One thing is that ultimately the purpose of humanity is to be a net positive for all of the goals, of the world. And if we go in and we just do for ourselves, that is a wonderful thing. But if we do for others, that is an immense value add. And the Chavos Levavos says that obviously Olam Haba, it's hard to imagine that the little things that we do could be sufficient to grant us a way to Olam Haba. And one of the two ways to quote-unquote earn it, one of them is zikui harabim, is to lift other people up. So part of that means, and this is a bit of a muster to me, is that we can't be so much Porshim. I think that, and this is a message to all the Tatis of the world, sometimes we can get very frustrated or sometimes stymied by things going on in the world. But to the extent that we refuse to integrate, our influence is, unless we're the Chazon Ish, our influence is limited, right? Because if there's nobody for us to interact with, then there's nobody else for us to influence. So we have to think about that. And, even the Nazirim, the people who are separate, they can find ways to influence and help others. Maybe that's why Super Tatis exists. Now let's get to a couple Meshe Chochmas on the Parsha. So the first one is in Tes Zayin Chof. So the question here is, why did Moshe Rabbeinu get upset? V'ktof aleihem Moshe. So the truth is that there was a lot of bitachon involved in the man, and they would put down the man and then it would get lost, and they didn't gather except for what was necessary for the day. That was a nace every day. But when the people saw that if they took extra, and then the mun would get all buggy, and then it would get disgusting, then all of a sudden it wasn't so much of a nace, and it wasn't so much of a nisayon for them. Pardon me, not a nace. It wasn't a nisayon for them because they saw that the way that things they saw the way that things worked, and then the Nisayon was gone. So then Moshe got upset, but Hashem wasn't upset because it was a big nes on Shabbos that the mon, that extra serving of mon, wouldn't be mavish, it wouldn't become disgusting. But for that, they wouldn't know the nes on Shabbos. But Moshe, he always wanted the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he had kind of a different perspective. So this now explains why on Yom Tov, that comes after Shabbos, why we do not put three pieces of lechem, like the mon would fall for 3 days for a Yom Tov. It says because on Yom Tov there wouldn't be mon either, right? So before Yom Tov they would need to be 3 days. So now we can explain the reason why we put lechem Mishnah is for the nes. Because every day, if they left it over, there would be, you know, it would become disgusting. But on Shabbos, for Shabbos, the Kedusha of Shabbos, it would stay. This is only with respect to Shabbos. But after Shabbos, since it didn't get all messed up after Yom HaShishi, there is no additional nisayon, that if they left it after Shabbos, it would get all messed up, since they didn't normally leave and they didn't, I guess, trespass. They didn't violate a Kadosh Baruch Hu's ratzon, and then there's no real nes. So that's why we don't leave three pieces of lechem. A very interesting diuk. On to Yudalat Tesvav Matitzaki Lai. Taber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. So there's a very interesting mechilta that says, Rabbi Yehuda says, Kodesh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Klal Yisrael should just go. And the way that Ramir Simcha explains it is all b'nei Yisrael normally would just follow Moshe Rabbeinu, just like, you know, a sheep after its shepherd. However, with respect to the Yam Suf, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave a separate sivui. And that sivui was to Moshe that he would follow the people. They needed, with their amuna, to walk into the yam, and in the zechus of that walking into the yam, the water would split for them. And that's why it says in Pasuk Yud Tes, Yisa Malach Elokim Ha'aloich Lifnei Machni Yisrael. So this Malach was traveling in front of Bnei Yisrael, V'yelech Me'acharei, and he walked after them, Zem Moshe. So that was talking about Moshe Shenikra Kan Malach Elohim. So he normally was in front, this time he was after them. Moshe Kosev B'Chagai. It says in Chagai, V'yomer Chagai Malach Hashem. So there the term Malach is referring to a person. V'lachain B'zchus Shehalchu L'yam. In the zchus of going into the yam and Moshe after them, that's why it split. So that's why it says in the Mechilta that they took the Eitzah and Nachshon jumped in. They all did that. So that was the whole chop. So that's why it says, Dabir Bnei Yisrael, Ve'yiso. They would travel, and you would follow after them. Now on to where it says, Kol Davar Asher Asim, Machla Asher Asim, Mitzrayim lo asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha. So this is like the standard stira that people say, well, if I won't give you a machala, then I won't be a rofe. Then why do I need to be a rofe? If I need to be a rofe, then why am I not going to give you a machala? That's a classic question. You can ask that as your tzedal aderech. But I'll tell you, one of the ideas is that the machalos in Mitzrayim were ones that couldn't be healed by a doctor. So what that means is, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu gave you chas v'shalom any of these machalos that were in Mitzrayim, that were impossible to be healed, Kadosh Baruch Hu would make it that you could you could get healed and would take care of you. Now on to an interesting machshava in Tes Zayin Lamed Beis with respect to the man. So Rav Meir Simcha makes a timing observation. The timing observation is you will see that the man came before Har Sinai. And this was intentional. And the reason why is people have a erroneous assumption that Kadosh Baruch Hu will only give Hashkacha to the people who are so deep and so involved in the world of Torah that and so steeped, and only then and so separated from the world, and only then will HaKadosh Baruch Hu give you this amazing Siyata Dishmaya to be able to live in the world of Bitachon and less Hishtadlus in the world of Derech HaTeva. And he says, the mon was given before Har Sinai to show that people can jump in. You know, Kol Ish Asher Yidvenu Libo, anybody who wants to do it, they can take upon themselves Ol Torah. And of course, this reminds us of the famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita of Yovel, Velo Shevet Levi Bilvad. In fact, I believe that Rav Cooperman mentions this in his footnotes. He says, look, this must be influenced by that famous Rambam that says anybody who wants to accept the Ol Torah can go ahead and do it. I saw this one story has influenced me so much because we can appreciate so much by a little pitgam that was said, and I think that it's important. It's important for the parents and maybe to be able to explain to the children. So I will. Shlomo Melech says, "Im tevakshenu kekesef v'chamat monim tach besen hatzavin yiras Hashem." I'm going to invert this. If we, for us to understand yiras Hashem, one way to do it is we think about the way that we seek money and the way that we seek treasures. I believe I mentioned before that I once actually was on a treasure hunt, going through my grandparents' house, and they lived through the Great Depression, and they hid cash, and they didn't tell us where it was. So after they passed away, eventually we had to go through their house, and I remember the legend goes that when my brother was a young man, or a child, he knocked something over and all this cash fell out of like a stool. So it could be that there would actually be, something that you would be throwing out actual money. So we went through the house and that made me understand a little bit the way you should look like a treasure hunt through Yiras Hashem. But look at what the Chafetz Chaim says. He said, Rav Yisrael Salanter had 400 mashalim, how a person chases after money and how they chase after treasure. And in those are the ways that we need to seek Yiras Hashem. Meaning to say, he thought so deeply about 400 different angles of the way that it would make you think about money should change the way that you think about Yiras Shamayim. And that's just, remarkable. And he said, after that, it sounds like proudly, and I have 80. Meaning to say, obviously we can't always add up to, the great levels of the extraordinary people before us. But we should think about it. I'm going to add one more. So during the day, I work in the world of structured finance. And structured finance is basically a world where people will take an underlying asset and they will try to lever it and borrow and create additional returns based on adding additional levels and strata of structure. So lender A will make a loan to borrower. And then lender A, in order to increase their returns, will borrow from lender B in order to loan to borrower. And if they need to, they'll take out a loan from lender C to lever their returns even more, so they can make more loans. And if it's easier, they'll structure that into bonds, so they can sell them to bondholders in 17 different tranches, so they can just get a few extra pieces of a percent of returns, so they can just get it a little bit better. So the level of structure and mathematics and tachbulos to be able to just get a couple extra pennies, you know, for every thousand or million of dollars is so important, because we appreciate, that when it's with a dollar, it's not so much, but when it's with billions of dollars, it makes a huge, huge difference. So now take that to Yerushalayim. Little changes, little structures make an immense difference. So that's the way we should be looking at Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is, what is one minor change that over the course of a 120-year life can change so much? When we make tiny incremental changes, all of a sudden, the returns get so much better. We should be zochet to give nachas yiruach to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Everyone have a lovely Shabbos.